You're listening to The Art of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll see you later.
Okay, I'll see you later, alligator.
Bye.
And good night, folks.
Get off my microphone.
Bye. Bottle, 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 bottle.
Boy, I tell you, she's ready to take over this broadcast, folks. I have to play some music and run her away from the microphone. I'll tell you what, I can't wait until the day that she actually does sit down here and do the whole broadcast. It will probably be one of the greatest days in my whole life. Let's go to Phoenix now for the Metal Report with Frank Marzullo.
Good evening, Bill.
How you doing?
Not too badly. It's been another fairly quiet week from a numbers standpoint, and given all the events that are going on, this Ron Brown thing is very indicative. It shouldn't have been as quiet as it is. We saw gold pretty much stay flat at right around 395. It lost a little ground during the week, and it retraced it today. It was up $1.60 today to close above 395. The Dow, on the other hand, we've seen it come up on Monday on buyers, buyouts and acquisitions and mergers. We saw it come up a little bit on Tuesday on some supposedly big news with IBM, but it was pretty much IBM stock that was boosting the entire Dow. And then on Wednesday, we saw it set another record, like, wow, big woo. We, for every 10 that went up, 12 went down, and 8 went nowhere. Again, I can't emphasize this is enough. It's a flight to quality. They're just plotting inexorably to the New World Order, and just this Bosnia situation notwithstanding. With that, this whole Ron Brown plane thing, there were 12 CEOs on board that aircraft of Fortune 500 companies. That shows to me, that should be pretty indicative, that this whole situation is about nothing but money. The only reason we're over there is money. And these people were over there looking to benefit. And I think this is one of those situations where, hey, things just didn't go quite right for them. We've got a lot of, there was a really good article about a book published by a gentleman who was an investment banker in Japan for 12 years. It's called The Weight of the Yen. And it outlines how closely our two nations are tied economically. And it points out some very valid points to people that are really interested in what's going on. From a technical standpoint, they should get this. The guy's name is R. Taggart Murphy. But Japan controls over half of the industrialized world's savings. They are the principal financers, the margin financers of our budget here in the States and our trade deficits, and have been for the last 15 years. Bottom line is, we are in their hands when you get right down to it. Whatever they decide financially is, in essence, what we have to live with. This little article from USA Today concludes, and this is what's really, and it's no surprise to you or any listeners of the program, there's only a handful of people that really understand what's going on. As far as I'm concerned, we're living in dangerous times, and because there's only a handful of people, for those of you that are out there thinking you know what's going on with the stock market and you got all these hot tips and the rest of it, you're wasting your time.
Well, you can say that again.
You're falling prey exactly to what the New World Order wants you to be, and that's right in their hands.
I was listening to a broadcast, a talk radio broadcast up here in the mountains, and just indicative of how people are misled. There was a so-called financial expert as a guest on this show, and this financial expert was telling people that that the stock market fluctuations were being caused by retired people and people who bought stock, during their life as savings and stuff like that, were selling their stock.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's exactly what he
was
telling these people.
He expected people, I don't know, in a rural area to believe that. There's so much disinformation. It's like, you did the program on complex trust. You don't see that on CNBC. You don't hear that on KFN, the financial news. They don't talk about it. They tell you to put your money in mutual funds. They don't tell you to put it in a trust. They don't tell you how to protect your money. They tell you how to put your money where it can get wiped out.
Well, that's a well-guarded secret. They don't want the common man to know that. I mean, the whole system would come tumbling down if everybody were all of a sudden to put their money in a trust.
Exactly. So, and people should recognize immediately how this whole situation is manipulated, how the media works to guide people right where the New World Order wants them to be for the reasons that the New World Order needs their resources or whatever. By putting your money in the stock market, all you're doing is helping to enslave yourself and others. And ultimately, you're going to lose and lose it all.
That's correct.
And back to in regards to the new money that we talked about it, its issuance, how it's going to create inflation. I don't know what's happening up there, but we're already seeing it reflected in the price of gas down here in the valley, down in Phoenix. It's rising and rising pretty steeply. I talked to some other people across the United States, and it's doing the same thing there as well.
Wait till you see what happens to the price of food.
Oh, it'll all happen in little stages. This will be first, then that. We're talking a 20% increase in the supply of Federal Reserve notes circulating. That's in essence a devaluation of over 20%.
Yeah, you'll see food go up, not in slow stages or small stages, but very quickly and in large amounts.
That's why I'm glad I bought as much as I did. It was a pain to move when I finally got out of my house. I had these crates and crates of food and moving, in essence moving into a much smaller place. I had to find a home for it all. But I tell you what, I'm glad I did it because it's already, would have cost me quite a bit more to replace it. People need to wake up. They need to realize that it is coming. It is coming very, very quickly. All you have to do is look at the news, and you can see this, that they are not stopping. They are not even slowing down. If anything, it seems to be accelerating.
People aren't going to wake up.
Some people aren't. A lot of people are.
The people that are going to awaken are awake.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the people will fall farther and farther into deception. They will buy the lies. They will fall into the manipulations. And tomorrow night I may play a tape that just shows you how far gone it may be. But
what disappoints me is all the fence sitters out there that I talk to. They so tied to those Federal Reserve notes. They're so enamored with that green piece of paper that they just can't let go of it. They're so brainwashed that they can't even go to the library and look in U.S. Code Title 12, where it defines a worthless security, and see that they're defining a Federal Reserve note. I mean, this is the thing that amazes me and it disappoints me, because I talk to a lot of these people all day long, and they just can't get off of that, I might lose something. You're going to lose a lot more than you think. For those people that are out there that haven't done anything, they're just waiting and waffling.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't understand it. I can't come up with words to describe the frustration level. Really and truly, you're trying to do something to help these people, and they refuse to be helped.
I have discovered, Frank, during my crusade to warn people and wake them up, that the more you try to help them, the more they will hate you.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
Except for those who have learned to think during this process and begin to actually investigate and look and examine and go to the libraries and check the information. And they may start off trying to discredit whoever is trying to awaken them, but those people end up awake. They end up as solid allies and friends, but the rest denial, I guess is the term. In their denial, the only way that they can be comfortable with that denial, knowing that they're being irresponsible, is to cast blame upon the messenger. And that's really why throughout history the messenger usually ends up dead. I think that's...
so do those that are in denial. And the ones that are in denial, they suffer far longer than the messenger ever does. If we do this right, people like you and I can get through this. I mean, they've already made attempts on you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, but where you're at and the way you handle your situation, the way you handle your life, you just escalate your awareness and you make it more difficult. You're never going to make it impossible. I mean, a concerted effort will do whatever they need to do. But the reality is you can make it more difficult, so it's just not something accidental. But those people that are in denial now that refuse to do anything, those are the people that are going to suffer long and hard, and it's going to be very slow and very painful, and ultimately they will die. At least guys like you and I know that we will do what we need to do, and if we die, it'll be fighting for what is right.
And we'll be free.
Exactly. As opposed to dying a slave.
That's correct.
And I'm not looking to die. I recognize that it's a distinct possibility, but also I'm not looking to be a slave.
That's not even a possibility in my plans.
Neither in mine. And sometimes even Craig down there at the office, he looks at me and he kind of kids about it, but I think he can be a little uncomfortable with the level that I'm at. This Craig, truthfully, to a degree, he wishes it wasn't going on. So do I. I mean, I'd rather be planning.
Well, who wouldn't wish that it's not going on?
We would all rather be planning for the future.
Sure.
A positive future, not a negative one.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is if we plan for a negative one now, we prepare, it makes it all that less painful.
Well, I'm just the opposite. I don't plan for anything except to try to make things better. That's my plan, is to try to make things better. But I am prepared for whatever happens, whether it's better or whether it's the worst that you can imagine. My family and I and
as I've seen,
most of our neighbors are prepared.
As I've seen. Yeah, that's a better way to word it. I mean, I've made my plans. I've laid my groundwork. Now I can get on with life. I keep myself in a position, in a condition that if it goes bad, I'm ready for it. But I still continue to work doing what I need to do to help others understand and to help others do what needs to get done and awaken. So, all we can do is keep trying and see where it goes.
Well, you got a little time?
Sure. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to share something with you and with our listeners. The reason we had a rerun last night is I got so sunburned yesterday on the firing range. I forgot that winter's, over. It's not overcast anymore.
You're at a fairly high elevation up there.
Yeah, and I was very, I was excited because I purchased a new pistol not too long ago. It's a Springfield Armory 1911 A1.
Springfield Armories are probably better than Colt's are.
I think they are. But this is a what they call a compact comp. It's smaller than a Colt Commander. It's shorter, and it's not as high. And it's got a compensator on it, which was put on at the factory. But I took it to John. You know who John is.
Mm-hmm.
And probably one of the best gunsmiths in the world. He built my long-range rifle. And I told him to make it the best that it can be, to borrow a phrase from the Marine Corps or the Army or whoever uses it. And he did exactly that. And I can't believe what he did to this pistol, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I'm an expert shot with a rifle. I'm not all that good with a pistol. I never have been. I've never practiced.
A lot of dudes with a pistol.
I've never practiced a lot with a pistol, and so I needed something that was going to be accurate and something that I could be comfortable with and practice with and get to be good with. Well, have you ever seen a 45 automatic where you could hold the slide, not the frame, just the slide, and move the barrel and it not move in any direction at all, not even 1/1000th of an inch?
I carry a 45. I did most of the work myself. It was my duty gun. I just recently, I had to put a new slide on it. I shot it so much I wore it out, and I had to put a new slide on it. And I've learned a lot over the years, and yes, mine is that way. Matter of fact, I finally had new sights put on it. Because the slide I put on had, you know, the Colt factory sights, which are pretty lame, so I got some quality, high profile put on.
Uh-huh.
One hole. I was cutting just one hole. That was at 7 yards. And I was happy as a clam. Back where it needed to be. And we were at Ben Avery shooting range and down here in Phoenix, because I wanted a controlled environment to do what I needed to do, to get the sights back where, you know, filed down where they needed to be. And these, there were some foreigners, they were, you know, doing some shooting, and they were looking, they were amazed, because they were all over the paper.
Uh-huh.
And I was just, you know, oh, it felt good, Bill. I know what you mean. I can't tell you guys, I know what you mean with the excitement, because when it's doing its job, it makes yours a lot easier. And I tell you what, it'll start a lot of arguments and probably get the phone ringing, but it's hard to beat a well-built Colt series of that style. 45.
Oh, it's amazing. I was absolutely blown away, because you see, I fired it before he worked on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know what it did then, and it was pretty good then. But when he got done and we went out to the range yesterday, like I said, I'm not a very good pistol shot, but we were going through pistol grills. And we had a referee and two shooters, one on each side of the ravine, and we had torso targets along the side. And you would walk, and when you heard the whistle blow, then you had to draw your weapon and hit each target. And you never knew what the range was going to be. You never knew when the whistle was going to blow, and you're walking. You had to do it as quickly as possible. Well, every round that I participated in with this pistol, it was one shot, one target down, and I won, you know, every time that I participated. And John called me up to the line, and he said, I want to show you what this pistol will really do. And I said, okay. And he said, you see that way down there? It's exactly 115 yards from where you're standing. He said, you see that rock on that little premonitory jutting out there? And I said, yes. And he said, I want you to shoot at that rock, and you're going to be surprised what this pistol will do. Well, I didn't believe that this pistol in the hands of anyone could hit that rock at 115 yards, because it's only got a 3.5-inch barrel. And I was certain that I wasn't going to hit it, because I wasn't even near a good pistol shot. And so I looked at him, and I said, are you sure you really want me to do this? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I don't think it's gonna hit it. And he said, well, just, you know, take a careful aim and fire, and make sure that you make a compensation for about a 14-inch drop in that range. And so I did. And I'll be darned if the very first shot with this little 3.5-inch barrel pistol, I hit that target just a couple of inches below dead center at 115 yards with the first shot.
A well-tuned 45 is very, you know, I'll do it all the time.
With a 3.5-inch barrel?
Well, mine's the 4.25.
Yeah. Well, this
is... Yeah, that's, you know, that is pretty amazing. The hardest thing is the shortened sight radius.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the hardest thing to compensate for, is you don't get a good sight radius.
Well, I'm still absolutely amazed. I'm just I'm blown away. John's stock as a gunsmith has, you know, is already at what I thought was the highest that could possibly be, and it's gone through that mark and up beyond the roof, and I've got him now mounted on a pedestal where I'm sure he doesn't want to be, because I don't like to be set there either, but it's just it's amazing.
Now, those Springfield Armory guns, they're one of the finest production guns coming out. He probably didn't even have to do a whole lot of work to it either.
I don't really know. I know he did something to the guide rod. I know he put a nylon pad in there. I know he put a much stronger recoil spring in there. I know that he really did a lot to the slide and to the barrel, because you can't move it. You can't move the barrel and the slide with a sledgehammer. Not the slightest bit. Up, down, sideways, anything.
They're locked up. You don't want them moving. You want them to lock up. Once, the round is fired and it starts cycling, they can be really loose. It doesn't matter. But lockup is the most important thing.
Yeah, and there's no play in the breech at all. None, period. He put a long trigger in. And what else did he do? I know he did some other. Oh, he had to take some metal off of the slide stop, and he ramped and throated it and polished all that, and it feeds like a champ.
There's a lot of people that are. It goes back to the old 9mm 45 argument. I got to be honest. I'm a 45 man. I always have been. It served me very, very well. The Colt series is excellent. Unfortunately, a lot of times they will need a fair amount of work out of the box to really make them where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
The Sig P220 out of the box is an excellent gun, but it just doesn't hold up like the Colts do. It's got an alloy frame. It's got a high bore axis in relation to your hand, so it gives a fair amount of muzzle flip. And you can't. There's so many aftermarket accessories for the Colt series, that style, that it makes so much more sense to do that, to go with that series. And the Springfield Armory, Colt had a series of problems because of budget constraints, the bankruptcy it was in, just bad attitudes on the part of workers because they weren't getting paid, this and that. Springfield Armory, on the other hand, has been turning out extremely high quality pistols for the last 3 or 4 years that are just unbelievable.
You know that they're made in Brazil now.
The frames and stuff, yeah, they're all made down there, but they're put together up here.
Not anymore.
No, they're entirely made overseas now.
Entirely in Brazil now.
That's interesting. I wasn't aware that they'd made that change. I knew the frames were forged down there, and most of the heavy milling was done, but it used to be that they were put together up here. I didn't know that they'd stop that.
Not now. Fully assembled in Brazil now.
Oh, hey, that's doesn't say a whole lot for American standards any longer, does it?
No, but you know, what can you say?
Yeah, no, America's right where the New World Order wants it to be. With a bad attitude, right? The American worker. I mean, look at what those police in Riverside County. I would say that that attitude is exactly what they want. The behavior exhibited is what those certain individuals that are bringing us to a global government want to see. So there'll be a hue and cry.
Well, it's not the attitude of law enforcement that really grabs me about what happened with those illegal aliens with the beating that they were administered. What bothers me is, and it's about 90% of all of the calls that favor the beating are women, and they're elderly women. And that's what shocks me, and I know, because I know how these people are. I've been around them and talked to them all my life, and I hear them when I go and speak around the country. If that were to happen to one of those women who call in and say that the police should have beat them more and all of this kind of stuff, if that were to happen to one of those women, they would be first in line at the courthouse with a lawyer to sue, and they would be suing everybody that they saw. They would be screaming. They would be on every talk show in the country. This hypocrisy and the stupidity is beyond my comprehension and my patience.
I sympathize completely, because that's exactly where I've been. But what got me about that whole thing was watching these guys do it. It's like they've done it before. This wasn't the first time.
A million times.
And they just happen to get caught.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, batons, those are the things that you use. That's your last resort before you go to deadly force. For them to take those things out on people that were unarmed, that were outnumbered by police officers, that was so wrong as to be unbelievable.
Well, you know, remember when we had that, when I was doing that police series on here, and we're talking about the attitude of the police and the fact that they're helping bring on a police state, and they have no respect for the rights of any individuals. They're engaged in criminal activity. They are destroying the Constitution. And they would call in and tell me how wrong I was and how they're servants of the people and all this stuff. And then one night I happened to mention that when I was in Los Angeles, I knew an awful lot of police officers because I helped train the Los Angeles LAPD bomb squad in diving at the College of Oceaneering when I was an instructor there, and in underwater demolitions. Because I have quite a bit of expertise in underwater demolitions. And I happen to mention that every police officer that I knew carried a throwaway. And they talked about it all the time, how all cops carried a throwaway, and they bragged about, you know, if they ever had to take somebody down and to protect themselves, they had to throw away, they just put it in their hand and walk away. And then I got all those calls from police officers saying that no police officer would ever do that, and that must have been a mistake or something like that. And then right after that, during the OJ trial, remember part of the revelations of Furman's conversation with the reporter was that he said exactly the same thing, that all the police officers in the L.A. Police Department carry throwaways, and no good cop would ever be caught without a throwaway, and he was chastising one cop who had refused to carry one out of the whole force, and he just verified everything that I had learned from the police officers that I had known in Los Angeles.
You know what, it's interesting how the whole training situation is done. You know, you sit in a classroom environment, and they tell you this and they tell you that, all the very proper things, and you got your notepad there, and you're taking all your notes, they tell you all the politically correct stuff, and then when you get out, you go put your gym duds on, you go out in the gym, and you start beating each other up or doing whatever the training is, then they'll start throwing things at you. When you can't be right, when you can't write notes, there's nothing available, they'll start telling you some things,
yeah.
And they're deniable, because, well, I never said that. Well, is it in your notes? No, it's not, because it wasn't done in class. One of the things that we were taught that, you know, they talk about here in the Phoenix area has been a problem is the chokehold.
Well, you were in law enforcement.
Pardon?
You were
exactly.
A law officer.
Exactly. And one of the things that they taught us, you know, I went through my notes, and because I knew somebody that he was a black man, black businessman that I was familiar with. He gotten choked out, okay? You don't do that. We were taught, not in classroom, but in the gym when we were practicing and doing things, that we should not do that, because there is a difference that, you know, in the way their veins in the black, I hope I'm not using politically incorrect terms here and get you in trouble, but
not getting me in trouble. I didn't say anything.
They come up the neck in a different position. Okay, so when you're when you come around with your elbow, with your basically your forearm and your bicep, it puts it in the position where you can deny the brain oxygen on a permanent basis.
You know what I think, Frank? I think that's a bit of police folktale, or whatever you want to call it, because the anatomy between a black man and a white man and an Asian man and a Hispanic man is no different whatsoever in the placement of the organs and the veins and the arteries.
This is what what they explained was not that it was so much it was different, but it would stay, you know, stay collapsed, all right, and deny, continue to deny. Bottom line is they told us to not do it, all right? The training environment when we're in our like in our gym duds up in the gym room, they told us to not do it. But nowhere in the reading, you know, in the written literature, did it say anything about it. And I thought that was very odd. And I started looking back on some other things, and then as I started listening to your program, started learning and started finding things out, like, oh, looking back on it now, it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's deniability.
Sure.
And everything has got to have deniability to it.
Yeah.
And it just video is a perfect example.
And they cover themselves in the racial bit because they specifically told you not to do it to a black man, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, so, yeah, there's a lot of things that are going on that people need to realize. You know, we're being lied to every day, and it goes on and on and on, and it's not going to stop, and it's only going to get worse. And people need to recognize that, and they need to wake up, and they need to just get off their duff, and they need to get something done. You know, it's real simple. It's real basic, because it's just going quicker and quicker. It appears to me, anyhow, knowing what I know by the education I get from listening to your program, that every time I turn around, I'm seeing more and more and more of it. You know, more of the new world. It looks like to me, especially being down here in Phoenix.
Well, I think you're right. I think this country's coming apart at the seams. I think we're headed for a complete societal collapse. I think I've said it so many times, I don't need to say it again.
One of the reasons those CEOs were over in Bosnia, because the ground here is not going to be fertile. It's not fertile now, except for revolution. They need to be able to set up their business enterprises somewhere else to continue making money and money, while this country's going to go, you know, basically to hell in a handbasket.
Did you say revolution?
Yes, I did.
Who's going to be involved in a revolution?
Well, I would anticipate, I don't know. I'm hoping if it does get that way, that people that are in tune, I don't know, it appears to me that this country is being pushed to a situation where there is going to be...
The socialists want a revolution to erupt because that's how they come to power.
Exactly.
They're pushing for the poor people, the minorities, and the dissatisfied, the dispossessed, to revolt against the status quo. And they're arranging it so that that they will instigate something like that. This thing up in Montana is pushing for that, and the media is of course instigating for somebody to rise up and start a revolution. But
watching the news this morning referenced that they had the son, his father and his grandfather are in there. His son on the television basically said he's written them off. If they die, he kind of just shrugged his shoulders.
Oh, that's horrible.
Well, it is horrible, but it's when you look at it, it's subtle, not even subtle. It's very blatant programming for a lot of people out there that, hey, if the son's already written them off, if they die too bad, then I shouldn't care either.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, before we go much further, that if there's going to be a revolution, I will not participate. In fact, I'll shoot anybody who's in revolt against the Constitution or the government. I will participate in a restoration if
exactly.
It is necessary.
That's what it's all about. That's what militias are all about, is maintaining that and not allowing the conflict, the chaos, the whole Ordo et Chao scenario to work.
That's right.
We need to deny them that. That's why people need to be ready, is to deny them their order out of chaos.
That's why these slime balls like Schumer from New York City, who has gang bangers running around shooting everybody every day and every night, he never says a thing about gangs.
No.
But militias who support freedom, are sworn to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and who have never shot or killed or hurt anybody, are all of a sudden terrorists. Schumer is a Nazi.
Yes, he is.
He is a Nazi.
And he is a National Socialist. Yes, he is a Nazi.
In fact, I wrote an editorial for this next issue of Veritas, and I flat label him a Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think we got a picture of Hitler's body with Schumer's head on it.
Very appropriate. Very appropriate. But that's what it's all about. Disinformation, and they need to set the strain level very high on the populace so there is conflict. And, you know, the bottom line about that is it appears that the stage has been set and they're going with that game plan. They probably could have earlier, not earlier today, or you know, maybe a year or two ago, they might have been able to continue with the slow boil. But it doesn't appear that they're going to go that route. It appears they're going to go with a quick and, for them, easy solution.
Well, they're scared to death of the militia.
Yeah, and rightfully so.
Yes, rightfully so. They're traitors. They're participating in treason.
And
they are guilty, and I can say that in full confidence that when they're tried, and they will be, that they will be found guilty.
Well, that's why I get Veritas myself. I can just read it at the office. I can read the copy that you forward to Craig, but I got it for myself to keep as reference material because you point facts. There is, you know, not finger pointing, it's facts laying out, exposing them for the traitors that they are. And that's, you're right, they are nervous because of situations like that, because of the programming, because of other things, the exposure that you are, you know, basically the candle or the light that you're holding on these cockroaches, they're scurrying for cover. And the militia's got their cans of Raid out.
You know what really gets me is while they're scurrying for cover, when we shine the spotlight on them back there in the corner behind the chair and under the stove, they're yelling, "More light! More light!"
Well, they're going to get more light than they know what to do with.
They're always screaming for more light, but they always dwell in the darkness.
But if they go with their Ordo FKO situation, I think they're going to bite off a whole lot more than they can even anticipate chewing.
Yeah, I think so, but I think... I think it's going to be bad for everybody.
It will be. There's no doubt about it. It will be. I think Thomas Jefferson said it best, a little revolution now and then is, you know, it's good. But it's been far too long, so the little revolution, the little bit of conflict is unfortunately going to be a lot because it's been allowed to just keep on building the pressure. When it goes, it's not going to be pretty. A lot of people are going to be hurt. But the reality is, it's got to happen. If we, you know, I don't know, without it, truthfully, can we stop it without it?
Well, I think they're going to force it to happen anyway. They want something like that.
They need something like that. If we look back historically, the government has always gained more power out of conflict. Internal and external.
Mm-hmm.
We've always had a stronger government. Now we are to the point where the global government is, in essence, in place. So now they need some conflicts to start really making the global government stronger. And I don't see any way to avoid it. They're going to push the issue. Unfortunately, they control.
They have to. It has to be them who fires the first shot.
I agree.
It has to be them who are pinned as being in the wrong, as being the aggressor,
mm-hmm.
as being another Gestapo oppressive Hitlerian force. And
they're doing a pretty good job of it.
Oh, they're going to do it. There's no doubt about that. And that will give us the sympathy of the people. Which we will need to be able to fight as long as we're going to have to fight to regain freedom.
I hope these people in Montana, they seem to be starting to wake up to reality, and they're starting to want to negotiate to come out. I hope that trend continues. I hope they do, because we don't need a situation there.
Well, I hope they do, because that's not the right cause to restore the nation with. You have no sympathy of anybody.
Exactly, not even of the militia movement.
That's right. And those people, from my investigation, have committed some crimes.
Exactly.
They've also done some things right. They've also severely pissed off all of their neighbors, which to me is the most despicable thing that they could have ever done. Because I got to tell you right now, if the FBI hadn't gone up there to get them, their neighbors were in the process of forming a posse and had already told the sheriff that if he didn't deputize them, they were going to go up there and pull those people out and bring them into jail any way that they could, dead or alive, anyway. And I think that's what really set the whole thing off, was that the sheriff called the FBI, told them what those ranchers were about to do, and so they were forced to act,
And I think that they're playing it to the hilt because it coincides
with their agenda
in the April the 19th bombing. And it started off as a nothing incident, and the press has blown it up into a full-scale rebellion. And are talking about the militias every day, every hour, on all of the communist news networks, even though none of the militia has ever been involved with the Freeman or in any of this, nor has any militia threatened to go up there and do anything, nor has any militia condoned what they've done. And all of the militia have congratulated the law enforcement officials for their restraint and for the proper handling for once of a group of people.
Exactly. Well, I just hope these guys that are holed up there wake up. They appear to be, and let's hope that they come out and face the music they need to, because the investigations, the things that I found out, yes, they did a few things right, but they did a lot of things really wrong. And they need to face the music.
Yeah, and it'll all come out in court. If they're right, they'll prevail in court.
Exactly. If they have valid points, and they will, they do have some valid points, that will come out and be a matter of court record as well.
That's right.
So this is, you know, they'll be far more useful to go to court, take their medicine, than they will be trying to stage a fight.
Well, the whole thing doesn't matter. The important thing is this is not the issue that the militia wants to get involved in.
Exactly. It's the restoration, the support of the Constitution.
That's right.
And it's the restoration of a republic.
It has to be an issue that is recognized as being right to support by the whole nation, and that day will come. I don't know when, but it will come. Well, you got any parting shots for our listeners?
Well, you know, yeah. You know, those something that people should carry in their rucksack. Those little 1-inch Siloam light sticks. You know, people are familiar with the big ones, but they have little 1-inch sticks. I keep a bunch of them in my medical kit, and it's fairly close at hand. If you're operating at night in where you need a lot of light discipline, and you can't really get a flashlight or whatever, you break one of these things, shake it up, hold it in your teeth. You can turn your light on and off just by simply opening your mouth. And it's a real neat way to read maps, to see what you got in your ruck, to see what you got in your medical kit in an emergency. When you need two hands operating, it's light discipline is important. It's a real good solution to that problem.
Just don't forget and bite down on it.
Well, you can bite down on them. They're tough. And if you swallow it, it's no big deal. It comes out.
I don't know. What's in it? I would want to swallow something that glows in the dark.
It's got a real tough plastic holder. It takes a lot to break them. I mean, matter of fact, we've tried to intentionally break them.
Frank, it's a joke.
Pardon?
It's a joke, Frank.
Oh, I sometimes take, well, I get a little serious about this. I'm sorry. I mean, I do. You've seen when we came up there, you saw, I mean, I take this serious. I do not travel without all my equipment because, you know, it's like police work. I wore my vest, I carried my gun because you just never knew when. And I feel that's where we're at now. It could be to the point where we could wake up tomorrow. It could be this weekend. Okay, we've got Good Friday, we've got some other things happening. I mean, we could wake up Monday and it could be a done deal economically. With seeing what I'm seeing, especially down here in a large metropolitan area, the rapid changes, I take this very seriously, Bill. So I'm sorry.
That's okay. Oh, I forgot to tell you.
Sure.
You took the trigger pull down to 4 pounds.
Yes, and you don't want to go any less than that because then you have potential liability.
Oh, this is perfect. This is just perfect.
4-pound break is a perfect place to be.
Yeah. That
sounds to me, I'd like to, if you're going to be having a convention.
Yeah, we're in the process of planning the dates now, and we'll let everybody know. We'll probably have two this year, if we have a year.
Okay, yeah, no kidding. If it all works out, I'd like to come up. You can try mine, and I can try yours. Yeah.
We may have a publishing internship for people who want to know how to produce a newspaper for their local area of the quality that we do, or at least learn how to do what we do, and if they don't want to do a full size or do that quality, at least they'll know how to do whatever they want to do.
Oh, they get more involved, and it'd probably be better, and I would think it'd make more sense to get the news out quicker if people just pick up the distributorships that you're offering.
Well, that would be nice, too. But I think it's important that, that we begin to take the ownership of the press back.
Yes.
And the only way to do that is to start our own press and get people used to reading the truth so that they'll throw the lies into the trash can and not buy them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just pass right out of existence.
Well,
wouldn't you love it if the New York Times just ceased to exist because some good people in New York City started publishing the truth and somebody could pick it up and read it?
Well, yeah, I would love to see that. I would love to see somebody really challenge Ted Fonda's Communist News Network.
You mean Ted Turncoat?
Yeah, Ted Fonda, Ted Turncoat. Still the same.
Hanoi Jane and Ted Turncoat.
Yeah. It's all the same slime balls.
Yep.
You see her at her football games with her mink coats. Boy, she sure has had a change of heart, hasn't she?
They're always, always that way.
Yeah.
As long as they can live comfortable and have the wealth and the riches, to hell with everybody else.
We know what's best for them anyhow.
That's right.
That's the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they don't know what's best for me.
You have to have that attitude to be a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
A socialist implies social engineering, which means I know better than you the way you should live and the kind of society that you should have and what kind of government and what laws and what freedoms or no freedoms that you should have.
Well, what I love about...
The problem is that they're all socialists.
Mm-hmm.
And only a few of them are ever going to make those decisions. The rest of them are going to be the slaves just like the rest of the slaves. I'm not going to be one.
That's great about what you do is these people think they're so smart, and you show them to be really stupid.
Well, they are really stupid.
Yeah,
they haven't ever sat down and thought it through.
But when you start exposing them, when we can laugh, guys like you and I, with the knowledge that we have, can laugh at their mistakes. We can point out their mistakes and say, these people don't really have a clue, do they?
No, sure.
It's rather humorous to a large degree. There's a way I caught it off of Linda's bulletin board to send mail to Washington and make them pay for it out of their franking privilege. I love doing that. I have these little labels all made up. Franked mail matters. Cite the statute and section,
uh-huh.
And petition the branch of Congress, and off it goes.
Wow.
I love it, and even to Billy Clinton.
All right.
Send things to Billy Clinton and make him pay for it. It's rather amusing, and it's just one of those ways you just get your little digs in. It's like, don't support this piece of legislation and make them pay for our other franking privilege.
Boy, if everybody in the country was to do that, they'd have to raise taxes again, wouldn't they?
Well, you know what? I'll have to give you a ring. Yeah, no kidding. If you want, I'll give you a ring on Monday, and I can tell you what needs to be written down, and then you can share it with the listeners.
Okay, yeah, I'll put it out on the air, and everybody in the whole country write 4 letters a day.
There you go. We can just overwhelm them. This is the kind of fun things. It's sad that we got to do it, but it exposes them. It's all part and parcel of saying, see, you're not so smart after all, and I know your game. And I'm not going to play it, and I'm going to throw your game right back in your face.
I saw what you did, and I know who you are.
Exactly. Make them a paranoid. The more and more people that, because I talk to a lot of them, they're paranoid. A lot. They put too much power to the government. They put too much power to the New World Order.
Well, the truth is, it has nothing to do with the government. The government's really the Constitution. The Constitution sets out the government. It's when you put power in the hands of men and women who are imperfect. We are all imperfect. The best among us can fall prey to temptation in the right circumstances. And there's anybody who stands up in front of me and tells me that it's not possible to be tempted by wealth or sex or beauty or all of that stuff.
They just haven't had enough money piled up in front of them.
Well, in my estimation, they're just lying.
Because
human beings are that way. We all have to be very, very careful that we don't fall into into temptation and into degradation, because it is so easy. It is so easy to do that.
Exactly. But if more people would stop being fearful and start thinking rationally, and we'll start thinking, period, it would be nice.
Well, fear is our biggest enemy, and it's really the only power that they have over us.
Exactly. So if we can continue to educate people, education is the key to breaking the bonds of fear. We can really start turning this thing around, and we potentially and probably will keep the whole scenario from unraveling. If we can start working together, start recognizing, start trying to educate the underclass. You know, like you pointed out a while ago, your book is an underground bestseller in inner city communities because it's explaining to these people how and why, you know, they're in life situations and who's putting them there. So it takes away the whole ordo ad chao possibilities, and the more people we can educate into that, it's like, look, it's not me against you or you against me, it's us against them.
Have you ever heard of the Philadelphia Church of God?
I'm not familiar with it now.
It's a branch of the Worldwide Church of God.
Okay.
You know what that is, don't
you? Yes, my sister was involved with it for a period of time.
One world government,
yes.
Man will become God, British Israelism. Jesus Christ lives in outer space, and he's going to come here in a UFO and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my book upset them so much because so many of their congregation was reading my book and passing it around that one of their ministers named Dennis Leap actually gave an entire sermon on my book and Gary Kaw's book on April the 26th, 1995, and somebody just sent me a tape of it. And it's incredible what he reveals about his church and the New World Order. And this church, you know, I knew what it was before, but I never knew that this church could be terrifying. This is terrifying, and I'm going to play it on the air one of these nights. They're extremely critical of me and Gary Kaw and our books. But that's not the reason I want you to hear this tape. The reason I want everybody to hear this tape is because of what he reveals about the Worldwide Church of God, about Armstrong, and about what their goal is, and what they believe about Jesus Christ. And this is a branch of what we've been talking about on the air for years. This is the Illuminati talking right here. I'm holding the tape in my hand and rattle it a little bit. I'm going to play this.
Exposure.
Yeah, and
exposure that you do, the more that the word gets out.
Yeah, this guy will terrify you.
Yeah, the more education that we give, I think we can stop it. But because you know we are making rapid advances, you are making rapid advances in getting people educated. We're also seeing as they're. The New World Order is becoming more fearful and more predisposed to pulling the plug earlier.
Yeah, and it permeates places where you would never suspect it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the messages of this guy is that they're not to read those kind of books. They're not to question. They're not to listen to anybody. And anybody who I'll play the tape.
There you go. Make it easy.
Yeah.
No, I agree with what you're saying.
In fact, I wish I had another hour tonight. I'd play it tonight.
Well,
I don't.
Maybe tomorrow.
No, tomorrow I got to finish up this Mark stuff.
Okay.
Maybe Monday.
Yeah, a lot of things, like we pointed out, people, there's a lot of things going on. If you knew, like I said before, half the things that Bill and I knew, you'd be locked and loaded like I am. Okay, that's a reality. Having the friends that I do in places that I do, it's disturbing to a large degree, knowing that there are plans in place, that there are things that they know are going to happen, but they refuse to do anything to stop it. Okay? There's going to be some situations this summer that they already know are going to happen, but are not making any plans to stop it, and it just disgusts me to no end. And it's going to be played up real big in the media, and, you know, well, all we can say is, we told you so. And it's just this unfortunate reality, but this is they don't care. The New World Order does not care about us. If we die, as far as they're concerned, we go to a better place. And we are just facing some very difficult situations, and people need to recognize that.
I'm not going to say ditto. Somebody might mistake me for one of Rush's leftover brains or something.
Mr. Freemason himself?
Yeah.
It's an unbelievable set of circumstances we live in, isn't it?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Well, hey, you know, at least we're, well, we'll go down in history for what that's worth. I just hope it's good.
Well, the victor writes history.
Yes, that's true.
So it really doesn't
matter. I got to be honest. I'm planning on being victorious.
I'm just planning on doing what I know is right.
That's it. Well, you always do that. You know, I live my life. I try to do that every day of my life. And you do what's right. But the time will come when things will get very disturbing, very ugly. You got to continue to do what's right even throughout that period. But I don't know. You just got to have the mindset that we will win. You got to know that in your heart.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll need to wake up.
Well, we win if we do what is right, no matter what the outcome is. We personally win, and if we don't walk into their slavery, in my estimation, we won. Mm-hmm. Even if we do it by dying on a battlefield, we won. And we'll get to solve the last great mystery. We'll get to go fulfill our faith or find out why we were wrong. One of the two.
And that's a fact. I'd like to think that we'll find out why we were right.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Frank. We're out of time.
And we'll talk to you later.
Been a nice hour.
Bye-bye.
Good night. And good night, folks. And God bless you all.
Somehow another the whole darn thing went wrong. But my mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear her saying, boy,
boy,
boy, she's sitting out there all alone, crying your eyes out, cause the woman that you love is gone. That's what she said. Only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Yeah, you gotta be strong. You better hold on. Don't go. All around with your head hung down. Well, I wouldn't let the little girl know. Wouldn't let her know that she made me feel like a clown. She said, oh, it's going to pass.